We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, when you use code DNVR at sign up, you'll get some amazing offers, like how a simple $5 bet on any NBA playoff game can win you $150 in free bets when you pick any winner in this year's NBA playoffs. That's with code DNVR on DraftKings Sportsbook. Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast. I'm Patrick Lyons.
I'm Susie Hunter. Patrick, this is not how we wanted to start our trip to Pittsburgh.
It was not. It was a 2-1 loss, unfortunately, at the hands of the Buccos, who just had their butts handed to them in by the St. Louis Cardinals. And you thought going in, the Rockies were coming in at the right time. But unfortunately, they cannot get it done.
Why did you say butts when you could have said booty?
True.
Like a pirate. I'm trying to get on your level.
Ah, you're trying to get on my pun level.
I'm trying. I never will, but I can still try.
That's right. You can always try to be Fat Joe to my big pun. Moving on. Well, we got a couple of things to break down through the game. A couple of the turning points. Chad Kuhl goes back to Pittsburgh, maybe to get a little revenge on the team that let him go. How have other former Rockies fared? We'll talk about that. Those prodigal sons. Also, are the Rockies really just the Mountain Pirates? There are a lot of former Pittsburgh guys playing ball and doing some things inside the Denver organization. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you're actually going to get some bonus content where we talk to Chelsea Sherrod of Nesson, getting some updates on Trevor Story.
It's an old friend show.
Yeah, good timing on that. Bad timing for this loss. Again, 2-1. But we do have to tip our caps. Invisible ones, of course. We're not wearing them today, unfortunately. But our DraftKings Sportsbook King of the Game, Connor Joe, the only man to tabulate two total bases. He had two singles. Rockies did not get any extra base hits all game long, but he had two singles. He goes and extends his hitting streak, or rather his on-base streak, to 20 games. And might not have had any RBI, might not have any walks, but he did have great hair, and he did his best. That is why Connor Joe is our DraftKings Sportsbook King of the Game.
Thank you, Kale, for having so much fun with that graphic in a game where we felt a little underwhelmed by what we saw from the Rockies.
Yeah, was a disappointment, of course. We thought that maybe Chad Kuhl would, have a couple of his better games in him, obviously, on this road trip, starting off with Pittsburgh. We thought maybe he would start on Sunday with Antonio Senzatella out if they moved his day up. But no, you like the idea of him going back to Pittsburgh, being comfortable, but no, doesn't get it done in this outing. He could only last through the fifth inning. Threw a lot of pitches, though, didn't he?
He threw 103 pitches in just 4 1/3 innings. And it was rough to watch, especially that first inning, that 34-pitch first inning. The Pirates really put their old coworker to work.
Yeah, only threw 58 strikes. Not great. I mean, it was only one run. It was earned. And so you look and say, it actually could have been a lot worse. Like, that's the other element to this, is that, sure, he might not have had his best stuff with the four walks and only one strikeout. Looked it up real quick on Baseball Reference. Only the fourth time in his career that he had ever walked four batters or more and struck out only one. So, you know, that being said, the Rockies were in a spot to win this game. Now, so far, as you pointed out with the first inning, Chad Kuhl walked off the leadoff hitter, Ben Gamel, who ended up scoring. We saw the same thing for JT Brubaker. We'll talk about him in a second for the Pirates. He walked Ryan McMahon to lead off the fourth inning. McMahon ended up scoring. And then Tyler Kinley gave up a leadoff single to Ke'Bryan Hayes, who also ended up scoring. Key piece, too, was not only that he stole second base, but Yoshi Tsutsugo. What was his name?
You did such a good job with it.
No, what was his? What was that guy's name that got the RBI single? Yoshi Tsutsugo. Okay. Tsutsugo. That's it. The TS blend is very common.
You did such a good job. I don't want to offend anyone.
That's true. That's very nice.
I'm terrified of offending anyone.
That's true. I thought the turning point of the game, as I put this in the notes as such, of course, there were still a lot of games left, but it was, I believe it was in that seventh inning. The bang, bang play, Rodgers does a good job getting the ball home to Diaz, put that at the plate. What was your initial reaction when it went down? Because the call might have been different, but play at the plate. Did you think that Rodolfo Castro was safe? Did you think he was out? What was your initial instinct on that play?
It was hard to tell on that first. I mean, of course, I, you know, hoped, because I think our jobs are a little more fun when, you know, it goes the Rockies' way. But then, like, once that was slowed down, I'm like, oh, clear as day. Clear as day.
Yeah, I thought he was safe. Again, naturally, it looked like that, right? And the vantage point I'm sure the umpire had was kind of similar. So you go, he's safe. Bummer. Good play by Rodgers. But they end up going back to review it. It gets overturned to keep the score at 1-1. And you go, okay, momentum has now shifted to the Rockies' side. And I also realized, I go, wait a minute. I remember seeing a call overturned on Sunday, and it reminded me, of course, of the big one that got overturned there. And I think it was Game 4. Let's see if I can remember the date. August 10th. I don't know. The one in Texas, of course, Randall Grichuk has the big play. Then you have the 10th inning where it gets, not that the call gets overturned, but that there was obstruction from Mitch Garver sliding into second base. So they win a game on an overturned call. So the Rockies have had those things going their way. They're 5-for-7 in winning these manager challenges. Sunday, Travis Jankowski was ruled safe to lead off the 8th. That ended up getting flipped. Didn't help the Rockies at all in that one. And then on Saturday, Iglesias had an infield single that ended up scoring Rodgers for the only run of the game, and they lost that. So they've won 3 days in a row. Is that a record? I don't know. I may need to create a database. I have a reason now.
Yes. You're getting it in a spreadsheet, Patrick. Yeah, all but right. Seeing that they're 5-for-7 with these manager challenges, I'm like, all right. You know, what does that say? What does that say about the Rockies?
That Brian Jones, the video coordinator, is very good at his job. That's what it tells me. He's an Oklahoma guy, so he's nearby. But yeah, they've won the 3 straight days. They get the call overturned, but they lose those 3 games. So hey, look, that's only a piece of the puzzle on that one. So that was, of course, frustrating. You know, they didn't get any extra base hits. The offense was, you know, relatively quiet. As we said, Connor Joe extended his hitting or his on-base streak, to 20 games. McMahon patient at the plate, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, again, this is a game where we are just, what can we celebrate? But McMahon had 2 walks this game. Patient. So very patient, very patient.
Yeah, Diaz had a hit, clutch walk in the 9th. Garrett Hampson came in to pinch run. Couldn't get anything working there as there were already 2 outs. Singles from Rodgers, Iglesias, and Hilliard. So Rodgers extends his hit streak, goes to 11 games. And we know that Brendan Rodgers has been playing really well all month going into this. And so only had the single, but still overall playing great.
Yeah, I mean, of course, after that rough start to the season, I mean, overall, Brendan Rodgers has gone 25-for-69, nice, with 2 home runs and 17 RBI in 17 May games. So, but great improvement. There was nowhere to go but up for him, though.
Yeah, the questions about the defense, of course, you know, did have the 2 error game, but we've seen some nicer plays. You know, he did end up, I believe it was game 1 on Saturday, right? He had a big diving catch there. So, or no, game 2 when they won. But nevertheless, it's hard to keep track of all these games, right? But it's fun. That's the grind.
It's
fun. Of baseball.
It's been, I feel like the past couple of weeks, days have been a blur, especially with the snow, the doubleheader. I'm like, okay, this is just, what day did anything happen?
It's been a blur for Todd Block a little too. He came in this game. They stretched him out a little bit. 2 2/3 innings pitched. Did not give up a run. No walks, one hit, two strikeouts. You got to like what you're seeing from him. And, you know, he was one of those guys where you say Wednesday's starter to be announced. We know Todd Block can go a little bit longer. We'll get to Ashton Godot here in just a little bit. But he goes 2 2/3, and that pretty much takes him out of the running for starting that game on Wednesday.
Yeah, we do know Ryan Feltner is in Pittsburgh with the team, so we will see what happens there.
Yeah, I think we're at the 97%, you know, confirmation rate that it very much looks like he'll be the guy. They'll have to move somebody off the roster, of course. You know, they'll kind of figure that out. But that was good to hear that. I think everybody has wanted Feltner to start, you know, only through the three innings on Saturday night, has been pitching really well down in a very difficult Pacific Coast League. So, you know, I thought he pitched well in Philadelphia, you know, despite the end result there. Obviously, the defense was struggling in Philly. So that was one of those pieces where he deserved another start. And we were hoping that this week would be the week. And it seems like 97% chance that it is. And there's 100% chance that this week, the DNVR golf outing is going to go down this Friday at Spring Valley Golf Club. That is going to be crazy. I think Wednesday is the final day that you can sign up.
You better sign up ASAP though. ASAP. That stands for as soon as possible.
Yeah, you got to do that. If you're not already a member to the DNVR.com, you're missing out on price breaks on all of our tailgates, party buses. You know, you get extra raffle tickets at all of our watch parties. That includes the Avalanche games, right? Like, we know how it's going down. It's popping off right now as we are doing this. You get a member-sized beer, too, which you can't beat. That mega pint. Access to our members-only Discord where, you know, Susie and I, we've been dropping some, you know, exclusive information that, you know, we're not going to go public with on Twitter, but we are going to let y'all know what's going on. And Master Banks, good timing. Where is the bar? I think it's on the corner of Colfax and York. In fact, I know it is. Thank you, Master Banks. We'll get to your question in a second here as well, because we see that in the chat again. If you are watching live on any of these post-game shows or any of our noon pre-game shows, of course, you can get in on the action on YouTube on the DNVR Sports channel. You can also get in on the action at Lightshade, Colorado's premier dispensary, especially if you're having trouble sleeping. I'm going to raise my hand on this one. That's why Wana Optimal's fast asleep gummies, I know it's proven to work to allow me to feel rested and refreshed in the morning. It's not an over-the-counter drug that's going to knock you out and you're going to kind of feel sluggish almost the next morning because something maybe uncontrollable is going on in your body. That's not the case with Wana Optimal's fast asleep gummies. All we're talking about is 10 milligrams of CBD and just a hint of THC that's going to get your eyelids feeling heavy in just 5 to 15 minutes. That's it. And guess what? Even quicker than that, in 0 minutes, you can order Wana Optimal's Fast Asleep Gummies at Lightshade.com and get 25% off with code DNVR. Use code DNVR at any of Lightshade's 11 Denver metro area locations. And look, if you can't get down to the bar to watch the Avs, if you've been bummed about missing out on the Denver Nuggets, the Tim Connolly-less Denver Nuggets, fear not, because you'll be able to watch regardless of what's going on with Comcast and the Cronkies. You don't have to worry about that. Avoca TV is that place for you. It's a one-stop shop, one-stop location for you to get Nuggets, Avalanche, as well as the Colorado Rockies, Denver Pioneers, CSU Rams, the PIDs, Colorado Rapids Soccer, up and down the Rocky Mountain region. You can get it. All you got to do is go to evoca.tv/DNVR. Evoca.tv/DNVR. And what you get is for just $25 a month plus cost of the receiver, your hidden fees or contracts, you get all of those teams, all of those channels locked in for 2 years. Never have to worry again about missing out on your favorite Colorado clubs. And on top of that, on top of going to evoca.tv/DNVR for this special offer, use code DNVR so you can get an additional $10 off your first 3 months. So now we're talking $15 per month to start. Can't beat that.
You can't beat it. Don't even try. Just kidding.
Well, Master Biggs, I don't know that we can give you a ton of hope, but we can put some things in perspective right now about the Rockies, their chance to go into the postseason, all those things. Because before the game today, we got some bad news. But this bad news ties in with, you know, the fact that the Rockies maybe could use a little bit more pop, maybe could use a little more stabilizing presence. And that was the fact that Chris Bryant was scratched from this game, was originally set to bat third in the lineup, play left field. Unfortunately, he was scratched from the starting lineup with those back issues. Now, we don't know how severe they were. Very much could have just been, hey, I felt a little something. Let's take it easy. Let's back off of that. Sam Hilliard was inserted into his place. So obviously that's frustrating, because if I'm telling you the Rockies are going to be better with Chris Bryant in the lineup, not a shocker. You go, okay, that makes sense. He hasn't had an opportunity to get back in the lineup, but he's had that opportunity now, and the back issue is starting to happen again. And so that positive answer can't be positive if he's not back and he's not healthy. So that's been a bit frustrating that your guy that you brought in this offseason just carry some of the load, unfortunately hasn't been able to do that just yet.
Definitely super concerning to see this back issue already flaring up again. So yeah, I've got questions and I've got concerns. And yeah, I didn't see the name of, who was that? Stone Gamps? That's concerning. I agree. Is concerning. So yeah, we need to we gotta get him a travel mattress or something.
I'd say he needs a hyperbaric chamber. I think that could be the key. Sleeping at altitude. Yeah. You know, is he drinking enough water? I tell you what, I used to have lower back issues. This isn't, This sounds like I'm about to go into an ad read, right? No, I used to have lower back issues. And then actually when I started running, I think it strengthened up my core and then I stopped having those issues. And then if I've ever had like spells where when I first started at DNVR, I was just kind of grinding away, my diet wasn't as great. So I wasn't getting my exercise and I could feel it in my lower back. So I've actually balanced that with sleeping on the floor. I literally will sleep on like a single yoga mat and I wake up the next day like ready to take on the world. I've kind of stumbled on this accidentally, but it's a great secret. It's good. You should sleep on something firm.
This is fascinating, Patrick. Fascinating. I can't wait for the guys to get back in town so you can ask Chris Bryant if he would consider that.
Once or twice a week, right? I mean, it's going to get your lumbar in that right spot. You're not going to sleep in any of those weird positions.
Do you do this once or twice a week?
Yeah, totally. It's great. I feel refreshed. Sometimes I'll put a little pillow between the legs, right? A little extra support there, a little bolster, if you will. But it forces you to either sleep exactly on your left side, in the middle, right? Like right on your back, and then exactly on your right side. And you can almost always count how many times you say, oh, I turned over five times. Well, five times, really times 1.5. That's all your circadian rhythms, right? 90 minutes that you sleep. Look, maybe the Rockies need to bring me in. I need to be a sleep coach for some of these guys. Drink more water. That's another one of those issues. I need to be a sleep coach.
There's a coach for everything, but Patrick, I swear I learn something new and absolutely shocking about you every single day. Never a dull moment here.
Yeah, we may have to put out a poll. What's more concerning, Chris Bryant's issues with his back or the strategies in which I keep my back in order? Great point. Great comments here in the chat. We also had Robert Stevenson moving to the IL, the COVID IL, which is strange, but I guess not impossible to get COVID twice in a very short amount of time. The interesting thing is from, you know, what we heard from the game on KOA radio, as well as what the Rockies have kind of talked about, he may not actually have COVID, but I guess in time for the flight going to Pittsburgh, there are some details where this was just kind of the easiest thing. Maybe there's a loophole in a sense. In these protocols, I don't have the COVID protocols memorized in that capacity. So it could be a positive loophole to say, actually, you know what, let's err on the side of caution. If we're flying out and this person's not feeling well, let's have them stick back, take a couple tests. And then instead of having to wait the full 10 days, Robert Stevenson may be able to come back a little bit sooner than that. So we hope that is the case.
Yeah, you have to wonder, just because, you know, it's only been what, about a month and a half, 2 months since he had COVID the first time. But yeah, so very shocking to see him back on the COVID IL. Very strange, yeah, to hear Buddy in that pregame interview on KOA saying like, oh, like it might just be a couple of days though. But with that, Ashton Godot was recalled from the airport, called back up again. He's just been all over the place, but he will be there just in case.
Yeah. Yep. That's frustrating. You know, it's funny you bringing up Buddy, and I was kind of hearkening back to a couple things he said in some tough losses, and this is one of those. And so, you know, maybe this is what he's saying there at PNC Park today, right now to reporters as we speak, this idea that, because he said it numerous times, I want to get his quote right, quote, when we play clean games, the wins come. And he's talking about the defense, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw that kind of a game where the defense was clean. There were those close plays, you know, the play at the plate, hey, got overturned. So it doesn't really matter that the original call was safe. Mm-hmm. You know, the defense, you know, if you get beaten on a stolen base, so be it. But, you know, there is a lot of connective tissue between holding runners on and the base running. So Ke'Bryan Hayes, not much of a speedster. So him being able to take second base and getting himself into scoring position was huge right there in that moment. So that's kind of hard. And so the defense, you know, is picking up, the bats still not there. Again, no extra base hits. That's kind of frustrating. But tip of the cap to the Pirates pitcher, Jonathan Trey Brubaker. JT.
His full Christian name. Thank you for including it.
I have a cousin who goes by Trey. Shout out to Trey Cat. But it's because he's the third. Right? Like he's not a junior. He's the third. So you have the nickname Trey. That's very new agey to throw Trey in there as like the proper name, but like as a middle name. So he could be like, if he was an author, he could, you know, go by his first initial and his middle name. So he'd be J. Trey Brubaker. And that is a tongue twister.
Is a tongue twister. Patrick, you think of everything.
Sadly, I do. And I say half of those things. So what? Just imagine what I'm not saying. So he went 6 2/3 innings pitched. Five hits.
He had the best start of his career.
I would agree. Yeah.
Good for him.
I would agree. Yeah. Gave up the one run. Was not earned. 4 walks. 4 strikeouts. Susie, I have a feeling you're going to know. The fact you pointed out that this was the best start of his career, I have a feeling you're going to know this this trivia question. Do you know the last time, like his last like best start when he had a true scoreless outing? Do you know when or who it may have been against?
You know what? I heard a rumor that it might have been in Colorado. It was the first game of a doubleheader on May 29th, 2021. So you almost a year homework. Ago.
Yeah, you did your homework. All right. I'm impressed.
Look at me.
I'm impressed. So JT Brubaker owns the Rockies now. That's just how it goes.
Tell the Montforts. There's a new owner. His name is Jonathan Trey Brubaker. That's a name that sounds like you would have some money and own some stuff.
Well, Brubaker is a name that fits perfectly in Pittsburgh as well, though. Pittsburgh or Boston. That sounds like an old money type name right there.
Old money.
That definitely is. And with the Pirates 2-1 victory on Monday, does snap a 4-game winning streak that the Rockies had against the Pirates, obviously going back to last year since this is their first matchup. So kind of a bummer there to see that. But Susie, you kind of threw me a question and gave me some homework and said, all right, well, cool, you know, wasn't as good as you would have hoped in his first start against his former team. Hey, what about some other former Rockies? And the interesting thing is, as I started like thinking about it, was that the Rockies have had a very homegrown starting rotation for the last almost 6 or 7 years. So they haven't really brought in very many starting pitchers. No. Austin Gomber, of course, came over in the Nolan Arenado deal. He was in various ways, good and bad, in St. Louis last May. 5 innings pitched, gave up 5 runs. We didn't walk anybody, struck out 7, but did give up the 2 home runs. Mm-hmm. Jesus Tinoco, if you want to dip into the relief corps, 2 guys that were acquired in the Troy Tulowitzki deal. He threw a scoreless inning against the Jays in 2019. Jeff Hoffman had never pitched against Toronto while a member of the Rockies. Mm-hmm. Went back all the way to Tyler Chatwood because he actually came up with the Angels. So you know, was acquired by the Rockies. And the interesting thing about Tyler Chatwood was, even still in the years since he left the Rockies, he's never pitched against the Los Angeles Angels. 10-year career, never pitched against the team that he debuted with in his rookie season.
Wow, that's wild. I'm so glad you looked this up, because again, I asked you for a Patty stat that you didn't have yet, but now you got some stats.
Yeah, and then I just cheated and I said, well, what did Mike Hampton do in his first start against the Mets? Yeah, this is the part where people that are listening to this early in the morning on Tuesday, they may need to pull their car over a little bit. He a 9-inning shutout against the reigning NL champ New York Metropolitans back in 2001.
The New York Metropolitans. Wow.
Wow, indeed. And wow is what people are going to be saying when they see your beautiful chompers. After you leave Green Mountain Dental Group, they have taken amazing care of all of our DNVR members for several years. As soon as I've been aboard in 2018, I remember doing these reads for Green Mountain Dental Group and using them myself. That's why I have that free Sonicare toothbrush that you'll get when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam. Not only do you want to be able to show off your smile, you want it to be bright and white, and you want to take care of any of those issues. You got to be proactive sometimes when it comes to this kind of dental treatment, and Green Mountain Dental Group will help you with that no matter where you're at in the spectrum. If you're afraid or if you're a veteran and you're just looking for a general cleaning, Green Mountain Dental Group is going to take care of you. Located just 15 minutes from downtown Denver, what could be better?
Listen, health is wealth, and dental health and hygiene, so important.
I won't rat this person out, but there's somebody in the press box that knows a lot about dental health. And so once in a while, we'll like dip into the issues of like if you don't have good mouth health, the health like of good oral care, you can actually have a heart attack. Like that can affect your heart. I don't know if you knew that.
I need to find out who this person is. Because I don't know.
Am I blowing you away with more just random facts that no one cares about? But also, it's important to know.
Yes.
You can stave off a heart attack by flossing once a day, or just going to Green Mountain Dental Group. Right, that was a free
yes.
One.
Yes. There we go.
That was a free one. All right. We kind of posed this question at the start of the show, this idea that are the Rockies the Mountain Pirates? Because we know that the Yankees have gotten that reputation as like the East Coast Rockies. I can't even remember what the list of all the players. Obviously, LeMahieu was the first. Then you had Ottavino. Actually, I think they were together in the same offseason. Mm-hmm. But then Chad Bettis and Chris Iannetta signed over there. Mike Talkman was traded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rocky legend Mike Talkman from the Rockies. And so
yes.
Like there are, you know, all of those guys. And I think there's a couple other teams that kind of secretly harbor affection for Rockies players when they leave. But there's a couple players, obviously Chad Kuhl being one of them, who come from Pittsburgh's organization. So the Rockies have been raiding the Pirates, fittingly so.
Oh, look what you did there. But yeah, Chad Kuhl, of course, drafted in the 9th round in 2013. He debuted with them in 2016. And up until last year, he was one of them.
Yeah, that's close to a decade there.
Yeah.
Even longer for Elias Diaz, right?
Elias Diaz was there for more than a decade in the Pittsburgh organization. He signed when he was 17, and he didn't leave until he was 29. Those are like such formative years.
Yeah, when I caught up with him for an article a couple weeks ago, just talking about his development and just how tough he is. Like the dude just takes foul balls, foul tips, you know, back swings that hit him in the helmet. Like he's a tank. Like we got to get that nickname going. He is just the tank, El Tanque. Like he is a tank. And when he talked about, you know, his upbringing as a professional, like those Pittsburgh guys, Tom Prince was one of those guys. That might even be a free article that's out there. You might have to go and check out at the dnvr.com. Otherwise 50 cents for your first month. But he talks about, you know, that upbringing from those Pittsburgh catchers and the players that he was able to work with through his development. So that was formidable years. And there's one, our DraftKings Sportsbook King of the game.
Yeah, I feel like we never talk about this, but Connor Joe was drafted by the Pirates. He was a first-round pick in 2014.
Yeah, it's true because he, you know, he was in the minors with the Dodgers, and I think that's might have been where he got picked by the Giants. He was a Rule 5 pick there. The details get murky, but Giants is where he made his debut, but that wasn't the team that drafted him. You're right. I think that is a misconception or just like a little detail that does get forgotten about just a little bit that he comes from them too. Now, not Todd Helton, not the guy who got ejected, but a different guy that's been hanging out with Todd Helton. We forget, hey, yeah, this guy also has a pirate pedigree.
Clint Hurdle, our assistant to the GM, was the manager of the Pirates from 2011 to 2019. That's a long time.
Yeah, he won an NL Manager of the Year award there. You know, took the Pirates to three consecutive wild card games, which will no longer be a thing. I mean, it's funny because there are always those cases made, like if a large market club or one of the marquee clubs, if something bad happens to them, the rules are going to change. Like if it was Tony Walters that got taken out at home plate, would we have the Tony Walters rule where you can't barrel over the catcher? Not, I don't know, not maybe not, but it happened to Buster Posey in San Francisco. So they make that rule. I think, you know, you could make that case about this in this instance, whereby if it was a different team and the Pirates who got knocked out of that wild card game, I think it was Bumgarner, Jake Arrieta, who was the best pitcher in the world that year, and then Bumgarner again that knocked him out. And you go, too bad, so sad. Like that really sucks. But Clint Hurdle was huge there, and so it's awesome having him back, you know, in the Rockies organization in this capacity. And there's one more too that you'd be hard pressed to even go on Google Images. In fact, that's part of the article, the most recent one that's up on the DNVR.com, did drop today. Go over there to check that out. I wrote up a nice conversation all about this very special player, this special double unique player. And I wrote it in the article. You can't find an image of him in a Pirates cap at all.
No. So we're talking about Ashton Godot, who, you know, famously moved to about 8 different teams in the span of a year. He was a Pirate for about 12 days. So wow, there are no pictures. Unless we Photoshop one ourselves, there are no pictures.
I love that you had the exact number. Like you laid a calendar out and you're like, okay, he was signed on this day. Oh, wait, no, I'm looking at the 2022 calendar. Let me go back and make sure there's not a leap day in here at the end of November, just in case. And you pinpointed it to 12 days. So again, that's diligence right there. That is diligence.
I'm nothing if not diligent, of course.
That's it. And you know what? I guess the best way to wrap this up before, again, if you're consuming this as a podcast, really fun conversation with Chelsea Sherrod about Trevor Story, about Fenway Park, Boston, David Ortiz, Hall of Fame, you name it. There was a lot that we packed in that 15-minute conversation. But before we get to that, it is kind of fitting, too. It's one of the big stories in baseball right now. Rockies, Pirates play, and there's somebody out there doing some big things that also, you know, used to claim that on his taxes, a member of the Rockies and Pirates.
Yes, Tyler Anderson, an old friend of both of the teams we watched all night, threw a perfect game through 5. He was incredible for the Dodgers tonight.
Yeah, he looked great. I mean, it's the same thing with Andrew Heaney, right? You go, oh, they signed with the Dodgers. Well, okay, this guy's going to be really good. You just knew that was going to happen. Although I thought that was going to happen, I guess, last year when Tyler Anderson signed with the Giants. And you go, okay, it's going to happen. And it didn't then, and it's starting to happen now. He ends up going 8 innings in total. Shutout baseball, fantastic job of him. Only gave up 5 hits, did not walk a batter, struck out 8, 3.30 ERA. So the revenge of the former Oregon Duck, Tyler Anderson. We're going to be seeing him at some point. Because I think, do the Rockies have the Dodgers on the schedule at all this year? I don't know that I can confidently say that anymore. Or the Padres. That's it. They're done playing the Padres. I think that's why they have to get a new schedule for 2023. No, they are playing the Padres. One of those weird anomalies, because the first week of the season got wiped away. They were supposed to play the Dodgers in LA, the Padres in San Diego. So as it were, the Rockies will not be playing the Padres until June 10th, a division rival until June 10th.
Yeah.
Easily the latest in wild card era. I mean, who knows? There could have been some weird anomalies back in the 40s and 50s, but that very, very well may go down as a record of some sorts.
Yeah, that is so strange. It's weird that we've played, there are some teams that we've played that I'm just like, we've played like the Reds and the Royals before we played the Padres.
Phillies were done. They went to Philadelphia. Philadelphia came here.
Yeah.
Done. They're off. They are done with their Philly requirements. They've gotten that done and over with, and they've still yet to play the Friars of Southern California.
It's a weird season. We have so many weird seasons tacked onto each other. But it's fitting because baseball is weird every season, no matter
maybe
what.
Maybe that's what the Padres City Connect uniforms are going to say. Friars of San Diego County. That sounds like a biker gang or something.
Listen, this is the week we're going to get the City Connect jerseys. And I can't wait to see them.
Yeah, we heard something about some interesting colored pants as well. I don't know. We'll see. Not going to disparage any sources, but it will be interesting to see. Yeah, this week will be the week we find out about the City Connect uniforms, you know, what they're going to look like. Are they going to translate? Like I said, I don't know if we talked about it on this show or if I talked to someone else about it, that the whole concept behind City Connect was for it to be like street gear to wear in the city. You're connecting your stadium, your team, your players, your organization is connecting with the fans on the street level. So let's have jerseys that represent them when they're on the street. So stylize it. And so it doesn't necessarily translate, I don't think, in every case, you know, on television. Like all those navy ones or those dark blues, right, that we've seen with the Dodgers and Cubs. You know, I like the Royals. They were in my top three of the City Connect.
They were.
Do they translate on television? I'm still kind of waiting to see that. They might not necessarily work, but style-wise, you're gonna wear that out. Maybe you're not supposed to a ball game. It's another one of those controversies out there. What are guys supposed to wear on a date at the ballpark?
What are guys supposed to wear to a baseball game if they're not supposed to wear jerseys?
I don't know, like, man. What? We need to look to Ken Rosenthal. Bow ties.
Bow ties. All right. Something we can all agree on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we can also agree on actually talking about a no-hitter or a perfect game, because that's obviously the case. And you know what? There are probably some Rocky fans that like the idea that if you talk about the jinx, it'll break it, because maybe you were hoping Tyler Anderson didn't have the no-hitter, the perfect game, you know, whatever it may be. But no, it doesn't jinx it. But it's fun to talk about. It's fun to accuse someone of jinxing it and bringing it up. But
yeah, no, there's a lot of that on Twitter tonight too. And people say, "Why did you tweet it? Now it's not going to happen. You jinxed it."
There are those superstitions, and this is again a topic for another day, and an article that you and I are almost writing separately. It may have to be a super article. We combine our forces there and unite. But like superstitions, that some of them are legit and do help because they change your mind or they change your psyche just a little bit. They almost trick you to get out of whatever mental fog or funk you're in. But a tweet, which exists almost nowhere, we think of Twitter as being everything and everywhere. It exists nowhere. That does not have an impact on the game. But switching out your socks, or as Eduardo Escobar does, as we learned from the excellent work on the Rockies Jumbotron, if he has a bad at bat, he will go and change and swap out his cleats.
That sounds exhausting. That is so much work.
It really does, especially in a sport where if you make an out 7 out of 10 times, you're actually really good.
Yeah.
Right?
How does he have that many? He must have so much in his locker just ready to go. God forbid it goes into, I don't know, extra innings.
Well, that's the debate, is when he has a bad at bat, are those shoes dead to him forever, or do they just go to the back of the line?
I think they go to the back of the line. I would hope they just go to the back of the line for the sake of like sustainability in an earth that is falling apart.
Very true. Yes. I do feel bad for the clubhouse attendants when you go, oh my God. The extra inning game, Escobar went 0-for-6. He hit into 3 double plays, and now I got to clean 6 pairs of cleats instead of just the one. There's definitely a downside to that as well.
Shout out to the clubbies for all you do, heroes. That's it.
All right, well, please go ahead and enjoy this wonderful conversation we had with Chelsea Sherrod. Right here,
joining us all the way from Boston is someone who has seen firsthand what our old friend Trevor Story has been up to. We are joined now by NESN reporter and host Chelsea Sherrod. Chelsea, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here with you guys. Susie, shout out to you for hitting me up in my DMs. Susie slid in my DMs. But I'm so happy to be here.
All right. So Trevor Story was one of the most talked about free agents. I mean, not just among Rockies fans who were losing him, but nationwide. He found an unexpected home at second base in Boston, and it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. So Chelsea, what has that been like from your perspective covering this?
So, yeah, I mean, he definitely, first I will say, when he was first acquired by the Red Sox, everyone pretty much lost their minds. Like, all the Story, Trevor Story puns were, like, flying on the internet and on Twitter. Everyone was so happy to have him in Boston. And then the season started, and it wasn't great. He definitely struggled to start. I mean, the Red Sox in general struggled to start. So all of that happiness and excitement definitely, like, flew away as soon as the season started. But then, you know, this past week happened and it's like, oh, this is the guy that we thought we were getting. Like, great. It just took a little bit of time. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, they were saying, you know, like when you bake a cake or something, you got to put all the ingredients together and bake it and just wait. And then finally you have this really amazing cake. I love the food comparisons. They compared that to Trevor Story. So I was like, okay, I completely get that. I mean, I feel like, yes, it was a transition for him to go to second base. And maybe there's like a mindset thing. Like, I'm playing at Fenway Park. Like, he loves talking about the fans here and how passionate they are. And there definitely is some pressure there. So I think maybe he kind of was just trying to deal with the pressure. And then he got comfortable. And now we're seeing like how electric he is. I mean, like a grand slam at Fenway, like it doesn't get much better than that. So now everyone loves him. You know how Boston fans can be very much like love, hate. Everyone loves him now.
Yeah, he's, you know, had to go through some things behind the scenes. I just had a baby during the off season. He changed his agent. So there's going to be that kind of turmoil. And, you know, as a kid growing up in Texas, playing in, you know, smaller market like Denver, going to Boston, I mean, that's a huge transition. And again, in the grand scheme of things and his multi-year contract, this is a blip. But man, for that first month plus, there's that struggles. And how much are we paying this guy? How good is he supposed to be? And then as you point out, the three homer game, the grand slam, he's got five home runs over his last three games, 6 for 15 with 13 RBI. Yep. Now you go, oh, okay. Yeah. This is the guy we wanted all along.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that, again, it's not even just like the grand slam. And obviously that's the highlight that everyone's talking about. But I just think that everyone's saying, okay, this is how we expect him to play. This is how we expect the Red Sox to look at this point in time. I mean, they were two wins away from a World Series last year. And then you start the season this way and it's like, okay, like, are we regressing? And especially after you acquire a guy like Trevor Story, you're like, are we wasting our money here? And everyone's talking about the future of the team and Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers and what's happening with them. And so I think that over the past week, just like you mentioned, Patrick, with the five homers and the 13 RBI, it's like, okay, like this is what was worth it all. So yeah, I agree.
I mean, you mentioned the pressure from the fans, especially and how passionate those fans are. Trevor Story was getting booed a couple of weeks ago. I mean, that's a big change too, coming from Denver, where I don't think anyone really gets booed. I mean, what is going on with the fans now that it's just made such a turn?
No, Red Sox fans hold nothing back. Boston fans in general, like, that's the thing, is that they hold you accountable. Like, anything that you do, they will remember, they'll hold you accountable, they'll bring stuff up from back in the season. Like, let's say Trevor Story at some point going forward, like, kind of goes through the same struggles he did in the beginning of the season. Everyone's going to bring up how he started the year off. Everyone's going to forget about the grand slam and whatever that was, because they want consistency, right? And so, yeah, when you're playing at a ballpark that he says is the best ballpark to play in, like, he was super excited to be at Fenway, and then you get there, you struggle, you're getting boos from the home crowd. I mean, that's tough. But then it's like you have moments like the grand slam and you're winning and you're putting your guys in position and you're not voiding guys on base and things like that. Then you get those like oohs and ahs and people love you. And they're like, okay, this was what it was all worth for. And this is why his family decided to come here. And so I think that this will kind of help him be in a better space. And I think this is also great momentum for the team, who's having a much better second half of May, at least, to kind of go forward.
Fenway Park, I mean, it is one of baseball's true cathedrals. What, man, what must that be like, having that be your office space for a day or several days? I mean, take me through that experience, that moment when you see the Green Monster, just everything, being in a building with such history inside of it.
It is actually just like otherworldly. And I don't even mean to sound super dramatic, but it is incredible, especially when you're in there and it's empty and you kind of just can just see the green and everything. It's just like, it's so beautiful. And when I first came to Nesson, I went to Fenway for the first time ever. Like, I had never been there before I started working here. And we were going to a bunch of games, but there was one game in particular. I think it was the CS. I went to a game and I kind of just like sat in the stands with the fans, and it was different. It was like out of a movie. Like, they go so hard. Like, they're so emotional. Any little thing that happens, like, everyone's reacting, but like, they're reacting in the same way. So it's like those like oohs and ahs, like, yeah, he's great. Or like, he's, everyone's saying the same exact thing. It's super loud. And it's just like, it's an incredible place to be in. And that's like when Trevor Story talks about playing at Fenway, it's like, I can only imagine being a player, but just being like a fan and being able to see like my colleagues work and do, like Tom Karen and those guys just do incredible work there. It's like they have the best jobs in the world.
Yeah, you're out there working with some legends too, because when people come to Boston, they stay in Boston for a long time.
They do. And people ask me that all the time. They're just like, wow, you're at Nesson. Like, are you going to be here forever? And obviously I'm like, you know, this is a great spot. Like, why would I ever choose to leave? But like, my coworkers, some of them have been here for decades, for years, with no plans of leaving. And it's because they have completely just like encompassed themselves with the culture. And I think that that's one thing about Boston. And like, we can talk about Philly, Susie, since you're from there, and how those fan bases are kind of similar. But when you just dive deep into the culture of the fan base, it's just like, there's nothing better. Even as crazy as they can be and nuts and wild, it's just a lot of fun. And it really is like the best experience ever.
Yeah, they are similar flavors of fans. I've said this all the time. We had a taste of it. I feel like Mets fans are pretty similar. The New York market, also very intense. We got to see a lot of those people at Coors Field earlier. Yeah, very intense fandoms out there on the East Coast.
Very.
Yeah, the thing that you have to respect about the Red Sox fans is that consistency, is that passion. And as you said, you've been with some, you know, legendary folks inside the industry that may have a couple Ted Williams stories. Now, they might not have seen him play, but know him from, you know, his time around the ballpark during the 90s. And so I know you weren't there for David Ortiz's career, but you are still here for, you know, his primetime spotlight going into the Hall of Fame in July. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot guy. I don't know if you've experienced him at all, but what's the excitement like for Big Poppy going into the Hall of Fame this summer?
Yeah, I have not met Big Poppy, unfortunately, yet. I have not met him, but everyone is super pumped, like, especially when the election came down. Everyone's like, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, people went crazy here, and it was, like, incredible. Everyone's excited for Cooperstown come July. When I was working local in Utica, New York, before I came to Nesson, they cover the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony every year, like, heavily. Unfortunately, the year I was there, it was the COVID year, and I didn't get to go. Yeah, I know. Such a bummer.
You missed Larry Walker. Yeah.
It was the worst. I was like, are you kidding? But yeah, they cover that so heavily. And so being able to be here and see a guy like David Ortiz get elected and going to be inducted this summer is great to be a part of. Here at Nesson, you know, we put together documentaries and interviews and things like that. And we've created a show kind of just encompassing David Ortiz's career, which is obviously super illustrious. But for him, I think he's just like a very passionate guy about baseball. He loves his fans. I mean, he loves Nesson. Nesson loves David Ortiz. So I think come the summer, it's definitely going to just be like a moment for him and obviously for us.
Yeah. Besides playing at Fenway, David Ortiz and Trevor Story have something in common. They both played in New Britain, Connecticut.
New Britain. Shout out Connecticut.
Yes.
Go Rock Cats.
Love that. So when we were setting up this segment, I was thinking in my head, like, is it a little cringy that we're giving Trevor Story so much attention that we're still talking about this guy that does not play for us anymore? But then I was thinking how every market or how every station in Boston, how every outlet in Boston still reports every single thing that Tom Brady does.
Girl, we have, okay, so let's just go back to when Tom Brady, like, first retired, right? We were like, okay, like, this is happening. I think it happened on, like, a Sunday night. So obviously, like, a lot of people aren't in the office. So everyone's scrambling, right? We're just like, okay, Tom Brady's retiring, whatever, whatever. We have a whole separate section of our website of Tom Brady retires. And then was that like what? Like a month later or a couple weeks later, he was like, I'm coming back. And we were like, oh, okay. So now our section is Tom Brady returns, right? The comeback. But no, I mean, people in Boston and New England in general are obsessed with everything Tom Brady does. Like every little thing. It doesn't even matter if he's like going out for a bike ride like he did. He posted on his social the other day. I think he was riding a bike in New York City. Or if he's just like with Giselle walking on the beach in like their beautiful backyard or whatever they have on their yacht. Everyone wants to know what Tom Brady is doing, and it's going to be that way until Lord knows. I mean, he's going into broadcasting now, or at least after he retires. So I'm sure we'll be talking about him then. But I mean, the Trevor Story, Tom Brady comparison, that is, I will say that is very interesting, Susie. It's a little bit of a reach.
Stretch.
A little bit of a reach. But I will say, the people get what they want, man. Like, people are obsessed with this guy, and it's going to be that way forever. I know everyone is hoping that he signs a one day with the Patriots just to retire as a Patriot. We'll see if that actually happens. But we will be following everything Tom Brady eats, like, sleeps, like, picks up, puts down, everything until his career is over.
I feel bad for the person who spent over $500,000 for his final touchdown ball, because it's not his final touchdown ball now.
I know. I think the person got the money back.
Oh, okay.
I think they were able to kind of do that exchange. But like, could you imagine being that person?
Yeah, he got a gift card back from the auction house. He's like, look, we'll work something out with you. We could give you a voucher. You can spend that on a different, you know, piece of memorabilia. I'll say this, the only Venn diagram that where Tom Brady and Trevor Story overlap, besides being very good players in Boston, is maybe a Dunkin' Donuts commercial. It hasn't happened yet, but maybe could that be the interlocking Brady Story doing Dunkin'? Maybe.
Listen, everyone's been throwing there are Trevor Story puns just running rampant everywhere. I know people would love the Brady Story connection. Like, what's the story there? So, I mean, that could possibly happen. You never know, but we'll see, I guess. We'll see if Trevor Story can be just as legendary in Boston as Tom Brady is.
I'm rooting for that. I would like to see that for him. We love the media circus.
Yeah, I'm a Trevor Story stan. I hope that he has a great career here. I mean, is anyone perfect? No, but it seems like he's kind of finding his groove, so I think it'll be great here for him.
Nice. It's very good.
Great to see him have some success. And I know you also cover the Celtics a little bit. Yeah. They're down 2-1, but I bring that up because we got a Colorado guy in Derek White from Parker, yeah, just like Bobby Dalbec. He's a Parker, Colorado guy, but yeah, went to CU Boulder. So, I mean, Derek White, he's doing some big things out there with the Celts. So we got to give him a shout out.
Shout out Derek White. I mean, just had a baby named Hendrix. We love. They're now two Hendrix babies from the Celtics. He and Rob Williams both, you know, love the name. So there it is. Hopefully they're teammates in the future. But yeah, I mean, we're all the Celtics. I definitely think that I was at the game on Saturday at game 3. That was tough. That was a tough one, especially in the beginning. I think that that was one that they let get away. So we'll see tonight in game 4 if they can even up the matchup or, you know, even up the series. But I think the Celtics, one thing about the Celtics, and I was just talking about this the other day, is the fact that in the beginning of the season, no one knew like what was going to happen with them. Like they did not look good. And then all of a sudden, 2022 starts and they go on this crazy run and then they get the number two seed in the Eastern Conference and they bring in a guy like Derek White, right? Who's now like coming into his own and I think kind of found himself with the Celtics down the stretch. So we'll see. But we're all hoping to see, I think, a Golden State Warriors-Celtics finals. We'll see what happens there.
It'll be good for the travel miles, that's for sure.
For sure.
Coast to coast.
For sure, for sure.
Awesome. Did we get it all? I think we, yeah. Chelsea, thank you so much for updating us on everything Trevor Story. We got all of the Boston sports updates. I'm sure our Denver followers will really appreciate it. No, this was so awesome. Thank you so much. Tell everyone where we can follow your work.
Oh my gosh, really? Wow, shout out. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Chelsea Sherrod, pretty regular spelling. You can also find my work on Nessun on all of our social media accounts. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was so much fun. You guys are a great group. Super fun. So thank you.
We had fun.
We're going to have a couple more of these this week. Of course, we're going to have a post-game show on Wednesday afternoon. Actually, I still might want to keep this part in the podcast because this is good for people to know. I got a lot of editing to do tonight. Post-game show on Wednesday. Final game of the Pirates series. And we're also going to come back on the post-game show against the Nationals in game one. We'll see what Soto is up to, kind of preview that series and tackle game one there. Hopefully we have a good start from Ryan Feltner to talk about. Herman Marquez bounces back. We have a lot to do this week, a lot more Colorado baseball to deal with before they are back home against Miami on, Memorial Day.
Yeah, and it's an early game on Memorial Day. It's a 2:10 game.
That's right. I mean, everyone will be off, so I guess that'll be a good thing. Traffic won't be too bad at rush hour. Everyone will be at the Rockies game. That has definite potential to be a sellout, especially if the Rockies can win 4 out of these 7 road games. They're 0-1 right now, so they got to go 500 the rest of the way. And again, Pirates and Nats are sus. They are suspect.
They're sus. Look at you talking like you're Gen Z.
I am. What can I say, man? This mustache doesn't say Gen Z? Or does it say undercover cop?
It says narc.
Yeah, it does say narc. Sorry. Which is all the more reason for you to head over to the DNVR Sports channel and watch us live on YouTube or just, mock our appearances after the fact. We always appreciate that. The DNVR.com. 50 cents for your first month. And look, if we've already convinced you with all of our great content that we already give you for free, the stuff that we put behind the paywall has got to be that much better. And guess what? It is. That's why you need to have a membership to the DNVR. But on Twitter, follow us at DNVR_Rockies. I'm at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
I am at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
Rockies do not have the momentum, but we do. However, going back and forth here, momentum, you know what they say, it's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.